Hey, we're the Wise Guys Podcast, coming straight from my walk-in closet. Today, part two of the main man, the champion, the guy from South Dakota, the not too tall, not too short, the always ripped, can eat what he wants, it kind of pisses me off, got a six-pack since birth, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Robiel Tasfel Dett. Did I get that right?
Close enough.
Yes. And so today we got part two of the episode we left off about where we're going to be talking about the MMA fights back in South Dakota back in the day when you could have like 3-4 beers and they'll call you up and you guys could just brawl it out. We're going to be talking about the fights that are going on next in his life, the things that are planned, not planned, what might happen, what might not happen. So let's go ahead and stay tuned. But first, let's go ahead and roll that intro music. We're back. Welcome back again. You didn't really go anywhere, but you stayed here, but people don't know that.
Nope. It's a week later.
Yeah, this is a full week later. He made sure to come right back, and so we're right back with you guys. So thanks for staying for part two, dude. We appreciate it. Gotta know. What are you talking about? 15 years ago, they could really bring fighters back on just to, like, if they were there drinking beers. So what the hell are you talking about?
Well, South Dakota was, you know, one of the states that were kind of the last ones to regulate and pass MMA and have it be something with a commission, an athletic commission. So before, you can just really, promoters could do whatever you want. Like, medical-wise, you wouldn't really need to have all the things that you need to have today.
Is that a good or bad thing?
It's a really, really bad thing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Because, you know, as much as it sucks to, like, have to go pay to get your blood test and do all that stuff, like...
Yeah, you don't want to get, like, hepatitis or something.
Yeah,
shit.
You don't want to fight somebody with AIDS and then you both get cut up and, you know...
That'd be tough.
You're dealing with that. Also, like, there is a situation where one guy got knocked out and then he fought, like... again the next day or next 2 days later.
No concussion shit, you mean?
Yeah, and I think he ended up dying. And like,
oh no.
Yeah, with the commission.
From South Dakota?
Yeah, and this was without a commission. With the commission, like, you have to have blood tests, you have to do an eye exam, you have to do a physical, and so, like,
damn,
you're at least coming into there.
Football is the same way too. Yeah, that's crazy. Just like these head injuries.
Yeah. Fuck. And I mean, a concussion and brain damage, like, from what I've learned, because we're the guys at my gym, we're in this MMA study. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it, but it's a concussion study. So before fights, they run us through a bunch of tests. And then right after a fight, we do a bunch of the same tests. And then couple weeks after that, we do the same test just to see what tests can accurately tell if you have been concussed or not.
Man,
and
that's great that that's
yeah, it's awesome.
That's amazing. It's good.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever been done before, or at least not to the degree that they're doing it.
And you know, that's what's great about that is, like, football just barely started. Probably been going on for a little bit, but In the whole scheme of things, they barely started doing that with these guys. Then you have these football players committing suicide, having anxiety, like, just pain, like, in their, you know, they're coming back fine, their tests are fine, you know, but their brain has been so brutally bruised and all this stuff. I mean, and think about it, that's football with a helmet on. You know, MMA, you're just taking fists to the head and legs and kicks to the face and head and all that shit. I mean, that's got to be right up there. I know with football, you are going head on, there's head on collisions, and that's like, they explained it like, you know, let's say you take a jar and you, like, a mason jar, put a lid on or put, like, a ball in there, right? And you fill it, like, halfway with water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put a seal on it. And then you take that mason jar and you, like, shake it up. And you know how that ball's going back and forth and hitting all over the place.
Yeah.
That's your brain in your head.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think, I can't remember what doctor it was, but that was a really good movie that Will Smith did called CTE or something like that.
Yeah, and that was kind of the thing that kicked that all off, right?
Yeah, that's what kicked it all off, because all these players, you know, and then then these players are leaving their brains to science. They're leaving their brains to science, which is another fucking great thing. And they cut these brains open, dude, and they are just fucking bruised up. I mean, we have some of these guys like the I think he was a center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, had his head beat so many damn times. They think about that. You're protecting the quarterback, and every play it's bam, 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 you know, your head. And this guy, it got so bad to where he obviously extreme depression, lost everything, sold a Super Bowl ring. But, I mean, it got worse than that. I mean, he was under a bridge taking his own teeth out and super gluing them back in his head and shit. Like,
oh my gosh,
bad, you know. And then other guys are dealing with it with rage. And one of his buddies got in a truck and just went like head on in oncoming traffic, and then just truck exploded just because, you know, they don't know what's going on in their head. It's inside their head. And now, actually, she was the this is why normally, damn it, Jordan, while I have another guy here with us all the time, is because to look this up. But I think it was the he played for the Rams. He was named, like, you know, the Hulk. He was just this big, big, burly white dude. He suffers from CTE, and they give you painkillers, tons of muscle relaxers, a bunch of antidepressants, tons of crap, you know what I mean, to counteract this stuff. And he literally got off all of these pills, and now he smokes cannabis. And literally, just from being on cannabis, like a certain strain, one helps with his light sensitivity. The other one helps with his mood, and so on and so forth. And now he moved to California just so he could be able to smoke. And literally, it's taking away, it took away all these pills that literally these doctors are making them, you know, these NFL athletes take because of the CTE. It's
right.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No.
It's so awful.
And the medication's so bad, too. You got these guys that develop stutter when they're done, or they have these crazy thoughts in their head, and they don't know why. You know, it's because of these medications that they're pushing on them, you know.
Right.
It's not just a painkiller anymore. Like, if you just gave a guy a painkiller, and it's just like, okay, it's just that one thing, that's still not good, but it's not as bad as, like, okay, here's a painkiller and seven other pills.
Right.
You know, like, your brain can only deal with so much.
One of my, so I started with judo, and the guy that was like the, before Ronda Rousey was, you know, a name, there's a guy named Carl Parisian who was like the judo guy in the UFC, and he was a badass. If you look up a Carl Parisian highlight, it's just him tossing people around, and he's just super fun to watch. But I remember he actually like had, at a really young age, was super successful in the UFC, and then had a huge decline because he got an injury and was prescribed painkillers, and he got addicted to them, and it popped up in a drug test, and it ended up hurting it, like ruining his career.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though it was prescribed to him, he couldn't have it?
Yeah, just because, you know, you can't take painkillers and then go fight somebody. It's, you know.
Oh, that's kind of like an illegal edge type deal.
Yeah.
Almost like steroids because you're not going to feel it.
Yeah. Which, gotcha. I mean, it's not as bad as steroids, obviously.
Right. But it's still an edge.
Yeah. Okay. And in a fight, like, you really don't feel anything because of adrenaline.
Right.
But
that's a good.
It's just one of those things.
That's a question for you. Have you gotten hit in the ring and you're like, fuck, ow?
I've gotten hit and I'm like, oh, I can't. I don't want that to happen again. But I've never been like, ow, in the moment.
Well, yeah, no, not like, ow, stop, you know, fucker. But
it's
no,
like a thud, and it's like, ooh.
Damn. That's what I'd be afraid of. I was like, boom, like, yeah, I don't do that again. Like, so you basically just, like, do whatever to stop. Have you ever hit somebody, vice versa, and been like, oh, yeah, he felt that one. Like, you know, I'm going to keep going right there because he does not want me to hit him right there.
Yep.
Do you attack for the weak point if that happens? If you notice you crack somebody's ribs, are you going to attack those ribs in the ring?
Yeah, if I were to notice that, like, I've never had anything with ribs, but I've had, like, leg kicks, fights where I've landed a lot of leg kicks, and I knew they were getting effective.
You just keep taking them in?
Yeah. If something works, you go back to it. Just because in MMA, it's so hard to make adjustments in that quick of time that, like, if something's working for you, you keep going until they do make that adjustment.
Right. That's, man, see, That's where I think that you are a little bit crazy, maybe. Because if you have that ability to, like, don't take that the wrong way to me. Like, because you're in a fight. You guys signed up for it. You know what I mean? But, like, if you're in a fight and you see you're hurting somebody by doing something, you're like, I'm going to keep doing that and hurt them more.
Right.
You know? And that's what you're almost trained to do, which, obviously, out of the ring, you're not like that. You're not beating up buddies or, you know, whatever. But that's kind of nuts, don't you think, a little bit?
Yeah. It kind of reminds me. There, Mark Schultz, he was a wrestling badass, and he has this quote where it's like, I'm sorry they perceive me as a dangerous entity. I'm just here to score points, pin people, and win matches. And that's kind of like, I would say, the mentality for fighting. I'm not like there to hurt somebody, but I'm there to score points, land, and finish the fight.
Right.
And not, you know, I mean, I'm not like trying to do permanent damage, but I'm just trying to win the fight. And if they give up and they give me a choke,
you know, they're
not.
You know, they're not going to give up. They're usually right, though. I mean, if we got in a ring together and you're beating my, you know, kicking me in the leg, and it's just going down. I mean, like, has that happened quite a bit? Have you seen people just be like, all right, I can't, like, it's done?
Yeah, I've seen, like, you can definitely feel when, like, somebody has quit in a fight.
So they just quit and they just go through the motions instead of actually just saying, I'm done.
Yep. It's kind of the mentality between, instead of trying to win, they're just trying not to take damage. They're trying to not
to
lose. Yep. And
damn, that's crazy. So that's a, have you ever been there to where you do, like, you've never, I don't see that in, like, you would rather go through the motions and go through, like, okay, I have 3 minutes left, instead of being like, I'm done, like, I'm quitting.
Yeah. I would say I never have that, but, like, you just get finished, and, like, there's a point, it's just like, what quits first, your mind or your body? Because, like, I felt like that last fight, my body was quitting on me. And I feel like the fight before that I lost, that my body was quitting on me. I just went so hard for a certain amount of time that, like, I had nothing left to where I want to fight. I want to, like, do stuff, but the blood is heavy. My arms are heavy. My legs are heavy.
Yeah.
I'm breathing hard.
For the listeners that just maybe popped in on episode 2 or didn't get a chance to listen to that first episode, definitely go back and listen to that first episode, because he did go over the fight that he had just had and unfortunately came up a little bit short. It was by decision. Great, great fight. Very close fight. But definitely go back and listen to that first episode. Don't miss out on any of that. But so going into the fight, so yeah, I couldn't see you just being like, man, let's quit, like, fuck that. I can see myself maybe doing that. I like, if I got hit in the stomach too hard or something. I went to a boxing match once, and this was in Fargo, North Dakota, and it was the heavyweight fight, and there was this big, just fat dude, right? And the other guy was pretty big, fat guy too, but you could tell he's a little bit more in shape, like, fighting. He took like 3-4 smacks to the stomach, right? He hit the other bigger fat guy, and you just heard it go whoop, whoop, you know, and then they'd be fighting, and you could just tell that guy just got hurt, and whoa, bam, he got him again, and this dude just quit himself. He went, nope, I'm done, just like, yeah. Right to it. He's like, he couldn't breathe or nothing. He's like, I can't, you know, and it's probably because he had the air knocked out of him twice, but then it's like, you can't get time, right? You can't be like, all right, hold on. I got hit. Like,
timeout.
You can't do timeout.
No.
No, there ain't no timeouts.
And, you know, he probably got hit in the liver. And I've been hit in the liver, and you have no control of your body. Your body just shuts down completely.
Really?
Yeah. I'd rather get hit in the face than right in the liver.
No shit. Yeah. Why? So what does it do?
It shuts you down. I remember first time I ever experienced it was in sparring, and there's a kid that he threw a spinning back kick, and I was walking forward, and it landed right on the liver. And I remember trying to put on like that, like, you know, no emotion face or whatever, trying to not show it. And he could still tell, and he was like, hey, are you okay? And I tried to say something, and all that came out was
Oh, no.
Because it's like the wind gets knocked out of you. You're like, your body just kind of shrinks. You're like in a standing fetal position.
No way. It,
a liver shot will put down the toughest guy.
No kidding. Yeah. And where do you got to hit him right in the liver? Like, where? You got to get him, like, around the... Where exactly? I'm not very good with, you know, body parts.
Yeah. Liver's, like, on your right side of your body, right, kind of right on underneath that bottom rib.
Okay.
So, like, and right, so here. A lot of times people hit somebody to the liver with, like, a left hook to the body. Oh, shit. So that's a good one. You see that in boxing all the time. Kicks... Yeah, like a spinning back kick. Or...
So if you get him good, even in the middle of a boxing match, it's like it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Damn.
Damn. The fight I always think about is Bernard Hopkins versus Oscar De La Hoya. And, like, Bernard Hopkins upset him, and he landed a liver shot that Oscar took a knee right away and didn't make it up for the 10 count.
Damn. And that's Oscar De La Hoya, bro.
Yeah, in his prime when he was, you know, the face of boxing back
then. And B-Hop is the man. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's definitely a good fighter. And that's another guy, too, you were talking about could fight forever. See Bernard Hopkins fight until he's 40 fucking 5 and shit?
Yep.
Big fights, too. Like, big name guys he's fighting and winning.
But you see, if you watch him, like, he adjusted his style. He was a technician. He wasn't somebody that, like, relied purely on athleticism. He was just, like, a student of the sport.
Right.
Found ways to keep himself defensively safe and put himself in a position to score points.
Nice.
And he was a world champion at, like, 49 years old.
Right.
That's insane.
Insane. You know what I mean? That's where I'd say... Jordan, look up how old Bernard Hopkins is. But no, I mean, damn, that is that's insane to think about. But it also is kind of encouraging, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, holy shit, like, I can still do this for this long. Have you ever thought about boxing, changing it up, doing something different? Because think about it like that. If you were to get into boxing, dude, I mean, shit, flyweight division is wide open.
Yeah. I'd love to compete in boxing, but, like, I would only feel comfortable doing, like, a lasting boxing career if I was spending all the time that I was spending in MMA towards just boxing.
Right. So, again, that's another sport. So, I can't even say that, right? Like, that's almost being like, so you like baseball, right? You want to go play football? Is it almost, like, kind of different like that?
Not as big of a difference.
Not as
because,
big,
like, but... I box quite a bit. And, right. Like, a lot of, you know, my style is heavily punches thrown. Like, this last fight, I think, I threw pretty much all punches. I might have thrown one or two kicks. But just going to get somebody that's focusing specifically on boxing every day, they're doing footwork, runs, you know, pad work, heavy bag, it's quite a bit different.
Okay. Damn. So, yeah, that's kind of what I've always wondered. I kind of thought about that, too. And because, I mean, I guess I do take that back a little bit. I did know some about fighting because I have been following boxing. Hate me all you want, but I love Floyd Mayweather, dude. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? A lot of people are, you know, he's an arrogant ass, blah, blah, but he's a fucking champ, dude.
I'm a fan of Floyd.
You know, how...
And speaking of Floyd, he was somebody, like, you look up... If you just watch Floyd Mayweather fights and you look up a fight when he was 22 years old, he's, like, super athletic, super in and out, moving his feet. And throwing lots of punches.
You're right. They switch it up.
And then older he got, he developed that Philly shell, and he was more defensive.
Yeah.
You adjust with the times.
You do, because he can't be all, like, fast like that no more. Now he's got to be, like, smart, even more smart the older you get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you got these young kids that are just ready to pop off full of energy and youth, right? And
right.
They just pop, pop, pop. And now you got, you know, and yeah, and everybody, not always... Like with football, you know, everybody's like, oh, that was a shitty game because it was only 10-7 or 10-3. It's like some amazing defense just got played. Like that,
right.
I love seeing that, to be honest with you. Like, I love interceptions or big stops or whatever, you know. So it's like when people say that, it's like they almost don't even understand the game when according and how that's how I feel. You know what I mean? Like, that was still in a badass game. Like the Super Bowl, yeah. Like when the you know, Patriots played the Rams, of course, it wasn't this high scoring, crazy game, whatever, but. It's kind of like hockey where you're on, like, the edge of your seat because the first person to score is going to win that damn game. You know
right.
what I mean? So it was great. So now with Floyd, It's like, yeah, I know that he wasn't going for the knockout and doing this, which he ended up still, he did TKO Connor in the ninth and whatever. But, I mean, yeah, he was such an amazing boxer to watch. His defense, that was so, it's like watching an artist paint a masterpiece, dude.
Right.
Like, it's perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Connor was just, you know, whatever, MMA fighter, but, like, it's still Conor McGregor, you know. And...
and
he knocked him out, you know, and TKO'd or whatever.
Right. Got he him. Would have knocked him out. Would have knocked him.
Exactly. And so it's not like it was one of those things where he barely did shit against Connor. It's like, no, he did what he should have done.
And so it's going on for that question of, like, the difference if I'd ever do boxing.
Yeah.
That's like an example of McGregor was, you know, he came from boxing. He was an amateur boxing and MMA world champion, and he went into boxing against an out of prime Floyd Mayweather, who is much smaller than him, and you still see the skill, you know, difference between those two. And just the other weekend, I don't know if you've heard of Ben Askren.
Yeah.
He was a big name in the wrestling world. He was a couple
boxes though, right?
He Ben does. Askren. He just started fighting the UFC. MMA fighter.
He's an MMA fighter. Okay. Yeah. So why? How do I know him? Who did he just fight? Or didn't he have some big comeback?
He fought Robbie Lawler, and it was a crazy fight where he got picked up above his head and dropped on his head, and he still came back and won.
Okay. I think I was watching some YouTuber vlog or something like that where they were there, and it was just crazy, right? Because he was supposed to get his ass whipped, basically, wasn't he?
I mean, he was undefeated. The way the fight was going. Yeah. It looked like they could have stopped the fight and it would have been all right. People wouldn't have contested it. But he survived, and that's kind of just like that wrestler toughness.
Yeah.
Because he was a Olympian for the U.S. back in 2008.
Oh, wow.
And on Monday this week, there is a competition called Beat the Streets, and he wrestled the current USA world representative for that weight class, Jordan Burroughs, who's a couple multiple time world champion. And just from like Askren focusing on MMA and not purely on wrestling, and this other guy focusing on wrestling as his job, Jordan Burroughs dominated him. It was very similar to like Floyd Connor.
Really?
I think it was 11-0, which is Tech Fall Mercy Rule. So yeah, it's just whatever you focus on, you're gonna be a specialist in that.
That's cool. That's pretty dope. And now I did hear about him, and I guess now that name rings a little bit more clear because of the wrestling beforehand. Mm-hmm. Back to it. So yeah, definitely well known. And then who are the two boxers that just fought? You know what I'm talking about? The two boxers just fought right now, and it actually went down to a split decision. Not a split decision. It was actually a tie fighting match. Or, what was it? Jordan, look that up. Oh, yeah, he's not here.
Was it Fury and Wilder?
Yeah. Did you watch that fight?
Yeah.
Who do you think won that one?
I thought Fury won that
Me
fight.
Me too, man. I thought so, too. It's kind of like when the Canelo-Gennady, the Golovkin fight,
oh, yeah.
Too. I thought Canelo won the first one, too. You know what I mean? I'm a Canelo fan, though, so... But, yeah, you didn't like it? You thought about the other way?
You know, I thought that one was either or.
Either or?
Yeah.
But in the end, then Canelo just won that, too. Have you seen this new cat coming up, Ryan Garcia? This little boxer kid? This is like an Instagram like model dude first, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, boxer first, sorry. But then, you know what I mean? He's got to go down fighting, but now he's like 19-0 or some shit.
Super talented.
Oh, my gosh, speed.
But,
wow.
You know, I haven't known any of the guys he's fought.
Yeah,
and that's the thing about boxing is you could be world class and they'll take you up, you know, till you're 25-0 or whatever, before you fight another super world class guy.
Exactly.
And so until then, you kind of never know. But from what I've seen,
I mean, at least he's putting him on the ground. You know what I mean? He did fight this kid this last time who had quite a background where he was also like 20-0 and like killing it, blah, blah, blah. And he knocked him out, you know? So going back to what we were talking about, now in the first round when you're fighting somebody, and it's kind of like the Ben Askren fight, right, where the guy he was fighting is basically just kicking his ass in the first round, right? Back to your fight. You were kicking this dude's ass in the first round, right?
Right.
Is there a little part of your brain where you're just kind of like, over, got this, or like, oh, I'm just laying it on? Or did any part of you think that going into round two and three, thinking like, okay, so I own this, I have this, and do you think that might have fucked with you a little bit?
You know, I came into second period and just with the same exact mentality I had first period. Like, I'm going to come forward. I'm going to come at this guy. I'm going to put him down. I'm going to control him. I'm going to land shots. And I think at some point, like, I started realizing, like, wow, I'm exerting a lot of energy. And I started feeling that. Whereas even though he was taking the damage and he was getting worked on, he wasn't really exerting energy. He was just kind of, you know,
just letting you do your thing.
Yeah. And so I think there was a tide shift in that third period to where I was depleted and he was still.
Were you pretty depleted? Were you exhausted?
Yeah. I mean, I left exhausted, which, like, you know, I think that's an experience thing. I think I probably held my breath in positions. I held on too long in positions because, like, I came into that fight better shape than I was in Bellator fight.
Like, than you've ever been, probably?
Yeah, ever been. I thought, you know, I could fight. I was expecting to be able to fight five rounds. And so it's something I got to learn. It's something I got to figure out. And
so
it's part of the process.
Is that your biggest takeaway from this last fight? Was just kind of like, man, I just got depleted. Like, damn. Like, so do you feel like...
And why did I get depleted?
Sure.
And I think my biggest takeaway is I got to learn to control my breathing. I got to learn to...
Nutrition at all?
You know, maybe nutrition might help. But like I said, I felt like I could have went like all day. Like I was in amazing shape. So
until the third.
Until the third.
Got you.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of fighters that go into that, too. That's an experience thing. Like, do you watch any of these YouTuber fights, like that Logan Paul KSI fight and all that shit? Did you see that?
Yeah, I watched that one.
I did, too. It's kind of like that dirty TV, you know, that you watch stupid shit you shouldn't, but whatever.
Yeah.
So I watched it just because of that, and it looked like Logan Paul came out and was just whooping ass, killing him. And then, you know, towards the end of the fight, you could just tell, like, that guy has nothing left. Just no gas in the tank. And so... Yeah, maybe an experience thing for you. You'll know, like, hey, I could, you know, you're still scoring all those points anyways in the first round, still killing it. Maybe if you even cut it back half of the energy you're exerting, you still would have had the same outcome. You know what I mean? So I guess that's all shit you're working on, obviously.
Yeah.
Working on with your coach. What did your coach say to you afterwards?
He just tried to, you know, kind of get me in the mindset of, like, what's next? Like, hey, we gotta work on your breathing. I think you could have landed more damage when you were focusing on controlling more. Yeah, and keep working on your athleticism. And you know, the training doesn't change. You know, I just gotta do more. I gotta have a little more focus. I gotta do more, and I just gotta figure it out. You know, something I think about, and I didn't really think about this till, this year when I was coaching wrestling, but my high school career, I came out my sophomore year, I was 1-12, got pinned every match I lost, and I still continued to work hard. I was super dedicated that summer, and I came back the next year. And, like, halfway through the season, I was a 500 wrestler, barely, like, you know.
It's huge from where you were, though.
Yeah, which at that time, I was, like, you know, I was okay with it. I was still working super hard. I still, you know, was super committed. And there was one tournament, and this is kind of one of my, like, more memorable matches, even though, in hindsight, it didn't really mean much. But there was one tournament where in the finals, I wrestled a kid that was ranked third or fourth in the state, and I was unranked at the time. And I remember being super nervous. I remember, like, oh, God, this guy's going to work me. And
this is your junior year?
Yep.
Okay.
And I went out there, And I was just listening to my coaches. I was in the moment. I was wrestling hard. Next thing you know, match ends, and like I had won like 3-1 or something.
Dang.
And I went home.
Just clicked.
Yeah, I went home, and like at that moment, like, yeah, it just clicked. I gained a lot of confidence. It was like, okay, like I can do this. I was supposed to be here. And I ended up winning 20-something matches in a row after that.
Wow.
In placing.
Wow.
And so that's kind of like right now, like my mindset with MMA, like, okay, I'm on a shit start. Like, I'm 2-3. I'm under 500. I'm still working hard. I'm still doing everything I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to continue to build on that. And I'm not going to, you know, back down from that. And one day it'll click. And then when it clicks, you know, there's no going back.
And you're going to be a, you know, force to be reckoned with, just like with wrestling, right?
Yeah.
And how did your senior year and how did that all turn out?
Senior year, I wrestled great the entire year. I beat some amazing guys. And then, you know, I choked at the state tournament.
But you made it to state.
Yeah.
That's huge. So listen to that, kids. You know, that's one of those things where you think that you can't really have it. You don't have it. You don't go. But or you're not good enough or whatever, but if you can really take one thing away from everything he just said, and it's so important, and you only gain it through hard work and determination, but once you gain it, there's really no turning back, and it's confidence. Confidence. Like, even when we were playing baseball, like, you know, you're playing outfield, you have a ball coming, you know, hit up in the air right down to you. It's the easiest thing to feel. Just catch a ball. You know, it's up in the air, coming down into your glove. But if you have no confidence, man, you're going to miss that ball every time. And anything with life, you know, you got to, but with confidence, you don't just get it. You know, you got to almost, you know, be
good. You
got to
work for it.
Yeah, you got to fucking work at what you're doing.
I've always been bad at, like, faking confidence. Like, I need that, like,
which is a good evidence thing, that's, of, like. Yeah, but that's great. You don't want to be that cocky, because that's what cocky, arrogant assholes are.
Right.
They're faking, you know, what they haven't proved or done. So that's a good thing. Did you going back with to that with your arrogance with your confidence, like, after that clicked? I mean, I feel like in your fighting that's pretty there. I mean, you've had some waha moments, right? I think after your next, I this is how I see it, over your next, with your next victory, I see that you're gonna have all these things that you've learned in these fights that you had previously, and they're just gonna roll.
Yeah,
and they're gonna just keep rolling.
You know, the good thing about losing early is, like, I'm learning my weaknesses and I'm learning where I need to improve. And, you know, my goal is to be a world champion. And at some point, I will be in the UFC.
Yeah.
And at that point,
and you're going to be giving me interviews.
Yep. I'll still be coming here. You guys will be huge then.
I wanted to, even if we have to Skype you in, yeah. Don't worry about it. But no, yeah, keep going though.
And at that point, I'll have seen everything. I'll know where my weak points are. I'll have, you know, focused a lot of time at those to not make them weak points anymore.
Right.
And that's when I think my career will actually start.
I watched some of your fights, especially one of your winning fights when you throw your mouthpiece up into the thing. Like, dude, you get pumped. You get fucking jacked.
It's a, you know, highest highs, lowest lows.
Yeah.
You spend 2-3 months focusing on one thing, that, like, a victory feels amazing.
And, you know, you built your confidence. Is confidence something that's gained? And, you know, it's definitely earned. I just started golfing, dude. So I started golfing last year. You know, just that total fucking quintessential white guy sport. You know what I mean? I gotta get good at it, you know. So I started golfing last year, and I was driving 100 yards, maybe, just garbage. And, like, now I'm up to, like, 220, you know. But, again, it took 2 years. And, again, I'm out there almost damn near every day when the weather's good.
Right.
But it just goes to show, like, and with golf, it's like that, too. Like, I know where to hit it or whatever, but, like, I would always line up and go back into hit. And already in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to fuck this up, or this is not going to go.
Right.
And then barely now, until, like, I finally had some good hits. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I've done that before. I've hit it that far. I know where I need to go. And then, you know, I'll line up and I'll hit it and it'll go great because, you know, I have that confidence. And it's just like, I bring up that story because there's so many listeners and there's so many people that need to hear that. That one, yes, confidence is key, But you have to work hard for that confidence because it's got to click in your own head because you can be a fake all you want because you said I'm hard at faking confidence and this and that. But, I mean, like, again, that's an arrogant asshole that's able to do that, but it's still faked. It's not real. He didn't earn that feeling of being like, yeah, I know I can drive it this far. I know I could win a wrestling match or a MMA match or whatever. It's you have to earn it, and you got to do it. And at your gym, what would you say, like, teaching-wise, what do you tell these kids that are, you know, you're trying to gain them confidence? What do you tell them first? Like, when you have a new blood come in, what do you tell these kids right away?
Find what makes you uncomfortable and, you know, go towards it.
That's awesome. Right?
I think the more uncomfortable you get, the more you get used to being uncomfortable. And that's awesome. Then it becomes, you know, second nature. It becomes something you're comfortable with. And you actually feel like you've grown as a person. And I think that's where confidence comes from.
Can people request you as a teacher there?
Yeah. Very available to do privates.
Nice. I want to link your info in the description about that, if you don't mind, about, you know, doing stuff like that. You got anything to plug? You know, you got your Instagram, you got your fights, you got the gym. Why don't you plug your gym? Plug.
Yep. I train at Next Edge Academy. It's in Sioux Falls. It's, you know, walk in anytime during the day or during a class.
Is it Next Gen or Next Edge?
Next Edge Academy. Okay, keep going. And, yeah, stop by. You get a free week trial, so you can try whatever classes you want. And, you know, it's a great, great place.
And then what about you personally? What about your socials?
Man, I think my Instagram's my Robel_Tesfaldet.
You're going to have to spell that for everybody. Yeah.
Robiel and then underscore TESFALDET, or just Robel Tesfaldet on Facebook.
Nice. Okay. Well, man, thank you so much for coming in, man. I really appreciate you making the trek. How far of a drive was it for you?
30 minutes about.
Oh, that ain't so bad. So,
yeah, it was.
I don't feel so bad now.
Yeah, it was, wasn't bad at all.
So Next Edge Academy is the martial arts school in Sioux Falls. That's 909 East 8th Street in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Their phone number over there, if you wanted to get a hold of them, is 605-321-6105. Again, that's Next Edge Academy. You can request Robiel if you want one-on-one lessons with him. Sounds like there's a lot of great coaches over there. It's a cool atmosphere. You're not going to get made fun of or shit like that, right? I mean, that's kind of like the biggest thing for me. If I go in there and I start training, I'm not going to be, like, you know, picked on or laughed at or...
No, you'll feel part of the gang day one.
Awesome. Well, again, that's all the information for that, man. Thank you so much for coming through, dude. I appreciate you fucking coming, man. As far as that goes, is you're definitely family here over at the Wise Guys Podcast. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Anchor, for sponsoring this episode. If you want to start a podcast, Anchor is the way to go. You heard the commercial before and in between. Please, again, like, subscribe, go follow Robiel, see what he's doing, throw him a comment. Let's build this together, and let's go ahead and keep moving forward. Thanks, guys. Peace.